Hello. Thank you for listening to the sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allows you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Classes, and we're excited for you to head to class. If you take your Bibles and open with me to the book of James, we're going to continue our study here today. Then next week will be Easter. We'll look at a different passage, and then we're actually going to take 4 weeks after Easter, and we're going to look at what I've titled church, or the church. And so we're going to look at that and see what the church is about, and we're going to dig in, and we're going to look and see what does it mean to be the church. But today we want to walk through the end of James chapter 4, and so we'll look at James chapter 4 here. It's been great to worship with you. I know it's a little dreary outside. We need the rain. It's what makes the grass green and the bushes. But sometimes we just say, hey, if we could have every day like yesterday was, right? Man, that would be great, right? Well, I wonder what heaven will be like one day and what that will look like. I look forward to that. And while we know several things about heaven, there are some things that we don't know, and I know it will be glorious and it will be wonderful, and I hope that you look forward to it as much as I look forward to it. We're continuing our study through James chapter 4 this morning. As we dig in, I want to read this passage with you, and then I want to pray with you, and then we'll walk back through it together as we look at what does it mean to make plans. And so planning is important. We want to make sure that we honor God through our plans. But James, as he's walking through, again, with the people that he's talking with, the 12 tribes who have been scattered abroad, who are now going under persecution and hardship, living their faith out and not the central location of where they were as Jews, but now they're scattered and their place of worship is no longer where it used to be. Now it's amongst themselves, and there's conflict that's going on even amongst themselves. We see that. We've seen that. But there's hardships from outside of followers of Jesus. And so they're experiencing that. And so James wants to talk about this morning about how we make plans. And I think it will be a challenge to you and to me as well as we think about our lives and as we view them. So let's read through this text, James chapter 4. We'll look at verses 13 through 17, and if you would follow along with me, I'll be reading from the ESV. It says this, James 4, verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." Would you pray with me? Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today in this place and to worship you. Thank you for Andrew and the team as we've been able to sing your praises and to sing what we believe and to even cry out to you, Hosanna, Lord. And we do need rescued. We need Jesus Christ, and we need his forgiveness. And we want to thank you for that forgiveness that he has offered to us through the cross, when he died for us and in our place. And Lord, my prayer this morning is that if there is anyone here this morning who has not accepted and trusted Jesus as their Savior, that today would be that day. Lord, for those of us who are your children, may we be challenged. May your Spirit move freely in our minds and in our hearts. And Lord, may your word be active as you've told us. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is alive. And I pray that your word would come alive in our lives and we would live it out. We would be changed people when we leave here, Lord, because we've spent time with your word and your Spirit and we've been obedient to you. So Lord, meet with us. Give your servant, Lord, I am just a vessel. May you speak through me. And what you don't want said, Lord, may it go in one ear and out the other. And Lord, may you be glorified. May you be praised today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So planning life without God. I don't know about you, there are times when I plan life with God, and there are other times that I plan activities without God. And I think we could all, if we're really honest with one another, that we do that. There are some things that we do without asking God. And I think James is encouraging those who are followers of Jesus Christ to look and examine how does God fit into your plans? We didn't cover this last week because really last week I should have changed and I should have put it into three sermons, and instead I only did one, and so I should have broke it up, but we really didn't even talk about verses 11 and 12 last week, and let me sum it up for you. I think it goes well with our context here of verses 13 through 17. I think James is encouraging the believers to say, hey, be careful. You are not the judge, all right? You don't have that authority. And so as he challenges them here in verses 11 and 12, remember, you're not the judge. You're not the jury. Then he comes into verse 13, and he will also remind them that God is in charge. God is sovereign. He is in charge of our lives. And so verse 13, he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. This is somebody who says, hey, I have a plan, and this is our plan, and we're going to move forward with this plan. I think if we go here and we do this, then we're going to make a profit. Now, I won't do a survey here, but I won't ask for raising of hands. But in some ways, if we didn't know the rest of the passage, would we find anything wrong with verse 13? When we look at verse 13, do we read it in such a way that we kind of says, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's good planning. All right, today we're going to go over to this town and tomorrow, and we're going to do this, and we're going to make these plans, and we want to make a profit. That's what a good business person does, right? So I don't know if there's anything wrong in and of itself of verse 13. But what James is digging at is he wants to get deeper. He wants to get underneath what is their motivation, what's going on in their minds and in their hearts. And so when we think about making plans and when we think about ultimately what is God's will, that's what we're going to be challenged with today. And so when you think about that in your life, what is God's will for your life today? That's the question as we look at this passage that you need to ask yourself. What is God's will for your life today? What is God's will for your life tomorrow? What is God's will for your life in the next year or 2 years or 5 years or 20 years? You say, well, Pastor Aaron, I don't know that I know that. Well, that's why we're going to look at this text today, and we're going to look at some other verses that are going to help us, hopefully. And so when you walk out of here, those of you young ladies that are thinking, man, I just need to know, what is God's will for my life? Who is that special man that he wants me to marry, right? Anybody want to raise your hand? No, I'm just teasing. I'm just, sometimes it's that way, right? God, I just want something in the sky, write it in the clouds. Or I want that postcard in the mailbox so that when I go to the mailbox, God, just tell me whatever it is that you want me to do. I think we all struggle at times with what is God's will. I think this is a text that really helps us to look at this, and it challenges to the very core of our faith. And so we want to walk through this. Today, tomorrow, verse 13, we will go into such and such a town. We'll spend a year there. We'll trade and we'll make a profit. Verse 14 says this, yet you do not know. And I think that's a key part of this passage. Yet you do not know. Do you know what's going to happen later on this afternoon? It's going to be raining. That's right, Cameron. It might be raining. But you know what? It might not be raining. And, you know, we might walk out of here and we might see a glorious rainbow. Do you have control over the rain? You don't have any control over that. If you do, then you need to talk to me, because we got a few events like the family carnival that comes up. We really want a nice day. So yesterday I was doing some yard work and I said, Lord, would you allow the family carnival day to be as nice as today, Lord? Would you give us that? And selfishly. But We don't know what's going to happen later on today. We may have plans. Some of you may have put a roast in the crock pot. You might have put a one pot meal together that you're ready to eat when you get home. And you're like, Pastor Aaron, you got half an hour left. That's it. Let's go. That's not bad to plan. But James is addressing something that we all need reminded of. And when he says this, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. None of us knows what tomorrow looks like. There is one who does, and that's God. Because God is not restricted in time. You and I are. God knows all, and he sees all. That used to scare me when I was a little kid. I'm like, oh, it's like the boogeyman. No, it shouldn't scare us. We should have the fear of the Lord, like God is much bigger than us. But the understanding of God knows it all, and yet he still loves us. How awesome is that? That God, the creator of all the universe, he sees everything. He sees my whole life, and yet he says that he loves me. Isn't that amazing? That God would love you and I, even though he's seen not just the good, but also the bad. And yet that should also help motivate us, as we know that God sees all, hears all, is in charge of all, that it should cause us to live our lives in a certain way. So verse 14, he follows that up. Hey, verse 13, you're going to make plans, but you don't even know what tomorrow holds. Verse 15, verse 14, he finishes this. He says, what is your life? He asks the question, what is your life? And as we've gone through, especially this chapter 4, James has asked quite a few different questions, and he again puts them on the spot. And I want to ask you, what is your life? And some people, depending on where you are in life, you may think less of your life. I don't want you to sit here and think less. God has fearfully and wonderfully made you. He has created you in his image. He put you together. He formed you and knitted you together in your mother's womb. You are important to God. Not that God needs us, but God takes joy. He takes pleasure in us, his children. So don't think less of yourself. But there's another spectrum of we need to be careful not to think too highly of ourselves. Like, I am God's gift to this world. This world would not be the same without me, right? What is your life? And he says this, your life is like a mist. One minute it is there, and the next it is gone. And I love this picture because it reminds me of my mom when she used to make tea. She used to have a little kettle that she put on the stove. And when that kettle was getting warm and hot, it would spew out some steam, and then it would blow kind of like a whistle. And I remember looking at that steam, and I remember even as a small child remembering this verse and seeing the steam come out of the kettle, and then it would just go away. It's like, where'd it go? It vanished. I think sometimes we think so highly of ourselves. We think that we're that important. We must remember how short and how quickly our lives will be gone. I'm still pretty young. And some of you are young. Yes, Cameron, I'm still young. It's all good. Some of you are young, some of you are older. You know, a couple weeks ago we celebrated Margie Briggs, 98. You know, Lester and Betty, they're in the back, they're in their 90s as well. And that's a long time to live. But did Lester know? Did he know that his life would be this long? If you talk to Lester very long, you'll find out, no, he didn't know that. especially when he fought in World War II and he was shot down from a plane. When he had to witness several of his crew members losing their life right in front of him. The reality is, none of us know how long we have. And we should live today with that view. Our lives are but a vapor, just a mist. One minute it's here, the next it is gone. And while we can make plans for tomorrow and for the year ahead, let us remember, what is our life? What is your life? It's a mist. For a little while, a little time, and then it vanishes. James doesn't just leave them here. He encourages them to think a different way. And so in verse 15, he makes this the adjustment over. He says this, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and we will do this or we will do that. So here's the answer as we make plans. How do we make plans as we want to honor God, but we don't want to be so arrogant and boastful to think that we know everything? James is telling them, and he's telling us today, if the Lord wills. And so what that tells me, and it should tell you, that it is about God's will. It is about asking, hey, if God would want that, if it's God's will to lead me here and to make these plans and to be here and to sell these goods and to make a profit in a year, then I want that. But if that's not God's will, then I don't want to do that. Now, if you're anything like me, it's easy to say that. It's easy to pray even at times. Lord, your will be done. Not mine, but yours. And yet, when I start navigating life and I'm making plans and as I see challenges and hardships and struggles come up, I think, okay, if I just do this, then I can do this. And then it will be okay. I'll make these plans, and I'll get a second job, and I'll do this, and so that way I'll have enough money. Or I'll come over here, and I'll take this class so that I can be ready for this next thing. James is encouraging them. These are people who have gone under trial and hardships. They are struggling, and he is encouraging in their faith. If God wills, if it's God's plan for your life, then it's all good. And I wonder for us, as we balance that proper planning, the goal setting, as we take action steps, how do we wrestle with that, with leaving out God's will and what God's desire is? And James addresses it head on in verse 16. He says, as it is, meaning, as you are right now and making your plans, thinking that you know what's best and that you're making those plans, as it is, you boast in arrogance. That's a strong term. And I think that could be said of us even today. You boast in arrogance. I wonder if God sometimes looks down and says, Aaron, you got your plans. And sometimes you come to me and you ask me, but what are those plans? Are you continuing to seek me to see if this is my plan for you today? And so pride and arrogance, boasting, as he says, you boast in your arrogance. And he says, all such boasting is evil. It's evil because of this. It replaces God. It replaces the sovereign God who is in charge of all, who knows and wants what is best for us. And what we do is we replace God with us. We replace the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that we could have life. We think, oh God, I think I know this better than you. What arrogance, what foolishness, and what pride that we wouldn't try to navigate life thinking like that. Now, I'm sure if you're anything like me, you probably don't walk through your days thinking like that. But I think we do that. I think I live life that way, and I think you do too. It's easy to slip into that. James has just said in the verses above, don't live like the world, but pursue him. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. In doing that, when we are drawing near to God, we can't expect to tell God what needs to happen. We can ask, and he says that, ask. Not out of selfishness, not out of a, hey, I think I know what's best for me, God. We can ask, God, I want you to work. I want to see you do this. Lord, you know my need. You know where I'm at and the struggles where I'm at right now. We can be very real with God, and we see that as we read through the books of Psalms. The Psalms, as David and other writers are crying out to God in the struggles and the hardships, as they're fearing their lives, they're crying out to God. We can cry out to God and draw near to him with the hope that he draws near to us. But we must be careful in our pride and in our arrogance that we would in some way think that we know what's best for ourselves. Because all such boasting is evil. Anybody ever call you evil? I hope not. All right. But James is making it really clear. Listen, if you're trying to replace God and you think you know what's best in your planning and your preparations, and you're not seeking God's will, you're evil. You're boasting, your pride, your arrogance. He finishes with this verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. It's our verse of the month. It's a verse that you can memorize. It's there in your bulletins on the front cover. It's also out in the foyer. There are some scholars who will look at this verse and they'll apply it as it is, a verse. There's others who will take this in the context of where it's at. I believe it's important for us to look at the context. I believe that James is writing to the people and he says, listen, as you seek God's will and as you're seeking to follow God and you know God wants you to do something and you fail to do it, it is sin. See, oftentimes we think of sin as sin of commission. It's a word meaning a sin that we commit. All right, it's a term that is used. So if I lie or I steal or cheat, it's something that I'm doing. I'm active in that. All right, if I go and I eat three donuts, all right, instead of saying, okay, no, God's want me to be healthier and eat healthier, so that I've committed that. I've done that. A sin of omission, that is something where I have failed to do something. Sin of commission, I have failed in doing something that is against the nature and character of God. Sin of omission is I have failed to do what God has called me to do. And if I can be frank, I believe that we probably fail in this area, as we mature in Christ, this is probably an area where we fail more than commission. For me, as we walk by the Spirit, not by the law guides us and teaches us and shows us the heart of God, shows us the cross. It is the tutor. The law is the tutor that brings us to the cross so that we realize what we need. And if you're sitting here this morning, you say, well, yeah, this is all good. Are you a child of God? I want you to know first and foremost what God's will is. And when we look at God's will, so that you may know what is right, and so that you won't sin, you'll do it. There are five things that I want to present to you this morning, and it comes simply from something that I've heard from John MacArthur, and I think it's something that's easy, and I think it's easy for you to kind of grasp hold of and think of when you think of, okay, what is God's will? What does that look like? And so the first is found in John 1:12, and understanding this, that God wants a personal relationship with you and me. And so in John 1:12 it says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And so understanding that God, in our believing in who Jesus is, we become his children. And what's really cool about that is that God desires for all of us to come to know him. And so in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I think there's a misconception that has been spread across the world, and that God is just a big bully God who just wants to pour out his wrath and his anger on people. Peter tells us there's a different type of God that the Bible describes. While God is holy and he is just and he is righteous, these verses tell us that God has a heart for all people to come to know him. He is desiring that you would come to know him, the creator of the universe, the perfect holy God that we sung about earlier. He wants all to come to know him. And that's that first step of how do I know what God's will is for my life? The first is this. You need to have a personal relationship with him. It begins there. To have a personal relationship with the God who created you, who formed you, who placed you here on this earth. It's not some foreign religion. It's not just a duty that you do. God wants to have a personal relationship. Just as I have a relationship with my wife, I talk with her. We talk. We listen to one another. We converse. We walk through life together. God desires that for us, that we would listen and that we can share freely with him, but that we would listen to him and seek him, and he walks with us. And so it begins with that personal relationship with Jesus. The second is this. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says this, for this is the will of God. What's cool in some of these verses is it comes out clearly and says it. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. And so the second point of knowing God's will, how do we know God's will? We live differently than the world. We live differently. We don't live as the Gentiles, as Paul is writing there, those who he is referencing as unsaved, not Christ followers. We live differently. And so we pursue God. And so our life should look differently. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, he sets us free from the bondage of sin. We're no longer enchained. We're set free from that. And so we can be set free to live a different life than the rest of the world. The third is this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I don't know about you, but I don't know that I really have gotten this one. What if you ask me, hey, what is the will of God? How would you describe it? I don't know that I would give you number three here, but now I will, because this is it, that we have a thankful attitude. We have a thankful attitude. This is God's will for us. Okay, we have a personal relationship with God. We're living differently than the world. And God tells us we're to have a thankful attitude. Why? Because it goes back to the very beginning, because we realize what God has done for us. We realize that we deserve eternity in hell apart from God forever because we're sinners. But we realize that the God of the universe has forgiven us because of his Son's death, burial, and resurrection. Because Jesus died on the cross and took all of our sin upon himself. He took the punishment. Jesus took the full wrath of God for me. And so when I stand before God one day, God looks at me through the lens of Jesus Christ. And I am declared right, and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the blood of Jesus Christ. How does that not allow me and you to live a life that is thankful? That is the will of God, and yet we get bogged down. We become arrogant and prideful and boastful when our plans don't go the way that we want. So what is the will? Personal relationship. Live differently than the world. Be thankful. To be thankful. To have a thankful attitude. Number four is this. It's found in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? That you be wise, right? That you would gain understanding. So how do we do this? We do this by this. We are committed to God's wisdom. We're committed to learn. We're committed to learn what does God want from my life so that I can be wise and understanding. And how do we do that? We're in God's Word. We're studying it. We're reading it. We're praying and asking God, God, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. We're also around people that are going to encourage us to do that. We're going to be around other believers who are going to help implant in us wisdom that they've learned. We're also going to have accountability. That's a term that not a lot of us want. But Scripture tells us that we are accountable not only to God, but to the church, to one another, to help build one another up. And so there is a commitment to learn. What is God's will? He desires that you don't just start in the beginning with that personal relationship and say, oh, that's good enough. I know I'm going to heaven because I've trusted Jesus. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm committed to living a good life. No, it's a continual pursuit, and that's what we talked about last week, that continual pursuit. If you're not pursuing Jesus, then you are walking away from Him. And so as you are learning and seeking God's will for your life, you are pursuing Him. You are saying, I'm going to be committed to learn. I want to learn more about you, Lord. I want to learn more about how awesome you are. And what your plans are for me. And what's amazing as you do that through the days and through the months and through the years, all of a sudden you realize that, wow, I'm not who I used to be. I'm not making the same decisions because you're pursuing what God wants and you're learning. The fifth is this, of knowing God's will. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. It says, for this is the will of God. Makes it pretty clear, right? All right, this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. What is Peter saying? He's saying this, you need to have a visual testimony. As you walk and as you are desiring to know what God's will is, it is not just some feeling like, okay, I felt like doing this today. I believe that the Spirit of God works and is active today. And I think the Spirit of God at times can speak to us. But sometimes I think what we would take as God speaking, it's our bellies. I think it's our own desires and what we want. Oh, that'll make me feel so good. Or that'll make that person feel so good. In pursuing God's will, it begins with a personal relationship, and that personal relationship continues to grow, and as it grows, we live differently than the world, and in view of all of eternity, we are thankful. We live thankful lives, not like the world. We should expect as we walk into work and walk into school and walk in everyday life that the world, they're not going to have the same gratitude. Why? Because they need their lives changed. They need their hearts changed. But as you and I are followers of Jesus Christ, we should be the most thankful people on this planet. Amen? It's a challenge to us. And as we live thankful lives, we say, you know what? I'm going to be committed to learn. Lord, I need to know more about you. I want to know more about you because I want to live like you. I want to live like Jesus. And as I do that, all of a sudden now, other people are seeing there's something different in me. And it's not because I'm keeping a bunch of rules or regulations or laws. Because we can't keep laws. We can't keep the rules. It's about a personal relationship where we're pursuing God and God pursues us. And we get to walk with him every single day. And yes, there's going to be days where we trip and where we fall, but God picks us back up and where we can continue that relationship. And when we do that, we see God's will. You say, Pastor Aaron, you didn't tell me who I was going to marry today. No, he's probably blonde, 6'2", muscles like me. He'll be a weak man then. It is about not having that written in the sky. It's not about God's will is being obedient to him. It's saying, God, you are in charge. Because I don't know what my life has planned. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. And so I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you whether it's hard and difficult or whether the day is really sunny and it's great. I'm going to trust you, God, because you know what is best for your kingdom. I know some of you are walking through affliction. You're walking through hardship. Life is just really hard right now, and I want to encourage you. God isn't trying to punish you. He may be disciplining you if you're walking away from him. But I think sometimes we think God is standing over us with a whip ready. He's just getting us. Because I messed up again. I don't think that's the way God works. He loves us, and as his children, he has a plan. And his plan is not to glorify you. His plan is so that he would get the glory. So what is your life? It's just a vapor. It's just a mist. 1 minute it's here, the next it is gone. So those of you who know what is good and fail to do it to you, it is sin. Do as God would have you to do according to his word, according to his will. And let's watch and see what he does. In your bulletin there, as Andrew asked you to tear out, there's two main points here, and I want to ask you to consider and to think about this. There's the opportunity to memorize the verse of the month, but there's also an opportunity to confess that I've been making my plans and have not been seeking the Lord's direction for my life, for my time, my gifts, my resources, or my plans. And so maybe you need to check that, and maybe you need to confess to God this morning, saying, God, I've been trying to make all these plans myself, and I need to confess, and I need to ask for your forgiveness, because I need to make plans according to what you want. And God, I'm so focused on what I want, and I want to ask that you'd forgive me. The third box there, it says, I am committing to seek the Lord's direction for my life, and no matter how God has it turn out, I want to stay faithful to him and to his calling on my life. When we think about these early believers, and I think of James' life, history has written about James and what happens to James. Now, whether how much of that is true or not, all I know is that James, what we have written down is James dies a martyr for Jesus. And yet, in our North America mindset, we think, oh, that can't possibly be God's will, right? God wouldn't want me to lose my life, right? What does Scripture say about our lives as Christ followers? I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer, but the life I now live, I live in and through the one who loved me, Jesus Christ. We're crucified to ourselves. It's not about what you and I want. Not that we're freely letting the wind blow us wherever. We're seeking the will of God. And what does that look like in your life? Would you stay faithful to him? Would you seek God and what he wants for you? I can't help but to think, is there somebody out here who God's calling to ministry? Full-time ministry. Whether that's as a missionary, as a pastor or a pastor's wife. I also can't help but to think, is there somebody out here today that says, you know what, I've been looking at my job wrong. I'm looking at what I've been doing wrong, and it's through my plans and not what God wants. I would ask that you would seek the heart of God this morning and commit your plans, commit your life, the years, the months, the days, the hours, whatever God has, commit them to what he wants for you. Seek him, because none of us know how much longer we have. Yes, the days are evil. We read that passage. But there is great hope, and there is a lot to be thankful for. Amen? Pray with me, Lord. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and the opportunity to dig into it. I thank you for the challenge of taking action. And I pray that we would be people who would obey you, not only by not committing sins of commission, but making sure that we're not missing what you're asking us to do. And so as we seek to plan our lives, may we not be arrogant and boastful to do that without you. But may every area and every aspect of our life be centered in your will. Lord, may my agenda, may it be that I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. Lord, it's not what I think I know. It's trusting what you know. And believing that you have a perfect plan. So guide us and direct us and lead us. And we pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.